Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Tuesday, and well, this is Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for one popping up there sometime tomorrow. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z Man with three E's.
All right, well, you and I haven't had a chance to actually, like, talk since Miggy hit his 500th career home run. So did you happen to get to see it, or did you just catch the highlight?
I just caught the highlight. You know, there's a group I'm in or a page I like, you know, how that works on Facebook. Who can keep track of all that crap,
yeah.
But... you know, there was a couple guys I knew that had commented on a post. And, I mean, you know, these are random guys that you don't know. You know, just kind of all over the country that I saw, you know, kind of the guys talking. And a lot of them are thinking this helps put him in the hall. Are you on that wagon? I mean, I don't really know how I feel about it. You know, because it's like... he's definitely done some things. I think that Triple Crown really helps. But I think the downside is, you know, pretty much the last 3 years hasn't really done anything, so to speak.
Yeah, he struggled later in his career, but you got to realize that he is one of only two players with a 300 career batting average, 500 home runs, and 500 doubles. And soon to be 3,000 hits, maybe not this year, but next year. The only other guy in that category is a player by the name of Hank Aaron, and I believe he's a Hall of Famer. So I think Miggy does get in when it's all said and done. And, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, he's won a World Series. You know, he's won a Triple Crown, so, you know, he's won, I believe, two MVPs. He's got everything you need, and obviously he's going to play a couple more years, so he's going to add to these totals. You know, if he ends up at 550, you know, he'll be just fine.
Now, kind of the crazy one out there, I forget his totals money-wise. If it's like, what, in the 20s he's got left going on over the last couple of years?
Yeah, I believe it's $23 million.
Per year?
Yeah, the next 2 years. And then he actually has two options or I'm trying to remember what they call them. Let me see if I can get it here real quick. Yeah, he has two vested options for 24 and 25, but that's going to be tough for him to hit because he has to finish in the top 10 of the MVP voting, and he hasn't done that in quite a while. So
you know, I'm on it right now, and the rest of this year, you know, this year was $30 million. 22 and 23 is $32 million. Just to throw it out there, you know, not to say that this is going to happen, you know, and I'm kind of thrown off as to where he would go in the Hall of Fame. So I'm wondering, Big Jack, what you think and how much money do you think Detroit is going to pay to get prospects from the Marlins, and do the Marlins have it for the 2023 season?
Yeah, well, the Marlins would have prospects because that's pretty much all they have are prospects if you look at that team. Yeah, you know, it would be pretty interesting. You know, the tough part of that whole thing is he would be going back to the National League, which DH. You know, and he'll be what? He'll be 40 at that time. And I know there are guys who, you know, at 40 can still produce, but I don't know with his track record here as of late if he's one of them. So, you know, I think it may be that thing where if he's going to retire and they know he's going to retire, they ship him back there to let him finish out his career if that's something he wants to do. Or maybe they actually trade him to a contender to give him a shot at winning another World Series.
So. Well, and, you know, the one thing that is probably going to change that perspective might take place this offseason. I mean, does Vegas have odds on CBAs?
Oh, probably somewhere. You could probably find it. You know, because, yeah, you know, that may change, you know, quite a few things. But what I'm wondering from you here is, we, you know, there are some guys out there who look like they have a pretty good shot at getting to this 500 home run total. And, you know, the one guy I'm really curious on here, Dan, is, you know, Nelson Cruz. Now, he's 40 years old, and he is 57 home runs away. You know, the thing with Cruz, though, is he is maintained. I mean, you know, we're looking at a guy. I mean, he's sitting at 26 right now. You know, our last full season, 2019, he had 41. Mm-hmm. You know, is it cool? Sign him? Is he DH'ing somewhere next year with the opportunity? You know, and he probably wouldn't get it next year. It would probably take 2 years. Does he get there?
I think there's the biggest thing that would stop him would be another failed test. I think if that happens, his career. Am I thinking of somebody else?
I think you're thinking of somebody else. I don't think he's had a failed test.
No? I thought he was...
Oh, I believe that. Yeah, I believe just... Nelson Cruz has been okay.
No, he got hit with the Rangers.
Did he?
And the lamest...
Was it...
Yeah, and according to Tony Manfred back in 2013, the lamest excuse
okay.
ever.
Oh, all right. Yeah, that was a long time ago. I don't remember that. So I'm sure a lot of other people don't remember.
He had a stomach infection and took the wrong substances.
Oh.
You know, the sad part, yeah. though, Big Jack, is, and not that I was calling him out on it, but, here's another, when he was with the Twins, he was... Oh, that's just another guy calling him out.
So, yeah, and there are some other interesting names now. You know, Giancarlo Stanton is sitting at 333 homers, and he's only 31 years old. You know, obviously the big issue with him is just for the life of this guy, he can't stay healthy, but... You know, I mean, if you're a betting man, I mean, he looks like he should be a solid opportunity to get there. I mean, you give this guy nine more years, and I mean, we're talking about a player who's had 59 homers in a season plus a couple other 30 homer years. He's got 21 this year, so he's looking like another 30 homer season. He should have a really solid chance of getting there, shouldn't he?
I think so, but I would say unless – I think only diehard Yankee fans would take that bet, though.
Yeah, and then, you know, like I'm not so sold on Justin Upton. He sits at 324, and while he is only 33 – you know, he's never put up huge home run numbers. You know, like the biggest year in his career was 35. So he would really need to start hitting them late. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see him end up at like 450 or something like that. But I don't think he's going to get there. Now, in return, though, Dan, his teammate, good old Mike Trout, who's just 29, sits at 310. He's got a good shot here, right?
I think so. I think he's got a great shot at it, but,
you know, and then there are a couple other guys, you know, looking here, Dan, that aren't even 30 yet. Bryce Harper and Manny Machado are both 28. Harper's got 255. Machado's 10 behind him at 245. Do both these guys end up in the 500 home run club when it's all said and done?
I don't think so.
Oh, no, you don't think so? I thought for sure we would see both these guys get in here. I mean, you know, it's an opportunity to play 10, 12 more years if they want.
Yeah, I don't see the bat holding on that long.
Yeah, and those are the two other guys that are under 30 that have 200 home runs already, or 200 plus. You know, like Nolan Arenado is 30. He's got 260. I to hit 340 in his next 10 years would be asking quite a lot because he's not a – you know, well, A, he no longer plays in Colorado, and B, he's not a giant home run hitter. But, yeah, you know, I think there are some guys who maybe we'll see down the road kind of pop up there and, you know, just kind of have to talk about it again.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that gets me with Harper and Machado is just the way the game is played today and the missed opportunities. You know, we talked about it the other day with that one article you pulled up about shortening the season to 130-some-odd games, which has become the average. You know, not to say that missing 30 games isn't going to give you that. You know, you're not going to get 30 home runs in 30 games. But, I wonder if that could be an issue in stopping some of these guys by only playing 130 games, 120.
You know, the other guy they brought up, Dan, of course, was Ohtani because he's got to come up in every sentence. And I don't think they realize that he's in his fourth season and he's sitting at 87 home runs. I get that he's 26 and he's having a great year and he's going to be the MVP. I also heard somebody say that he's the best pitcher in baseball, and I was really disappointed because it came out of John Smoltz's mouth, and I used to believe that he knew what he was talking about. But I no longer believe that because he's not the best pitcher in baseball. He's pitched very well this year, but to call him that is an insult to the other pitchers in baseball. We're talking about a guy who hasn't even hit 100 yet, and they want him to get to 500. That's a big stretch. And again, this is also the guy's first season he's been healthy.
Yeah.
So maybe they need to pull back the reins there on bringing this guy up every chance they get.
Well, he's definitely impressed his teammate, Mike Trout.
I mean, unless you have him getting to 500.
You know, anything's possible.
So.
But it'll be interesting because isn't he up soon? Like, that contract isn't over.
You know, I'm trying to remember. Let me see here. He has 2 more years left. He's eligible for free agency in 2024. So he'll be there 2 more years.
Unless they re-sign
him. He has arbitration in 2023, but obviously they'll figure that one out. And then, yeah, he'll sign, you know, whatever he decides to do in 2024.
So. You know, with the way the game works and contracts, blah, 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 do you see it? Well, and not even just a game, the way the Angels have not done anything since 2014, really. If the Angels don't give him the offer that he's looking for, you know, I don't think they would throw anything out next season, but, you know, somewhere after the 2022 season. If he doesn't have an extension signed before the 2023 season, do you think he's done with the Angels? I don't think he's going to be an Angel. I don't, but everything remains to be seen.
Yeah, you know, it's so tough to say because the Angels try. You know, I mean, they go out and they bring guys in and, you know, they make their deals. And for whatever reason, it always just blows up in their face. No matter who they sign or what they do, it just seems to go downhill.
Do you think a lot of that has to do with the fact that, you know, the biggest signings they make are all bats, basically? I mean, obviously, Shohei was the biggest pitching signing, but, you know, nothing, the guys they developed, you know, just couldn't stay healthy. And obviously that's not on them. You know, and then they had that other incident. So there's that part of it, you know. I don't think they have a huge issue with developing pitchers, but it just seems like they can't get that guy to come in. I.e. like John Lester for the Cubs. I'm not saying they should be going after John Lester, but I believe John Lester was key in helping them win the World Series. And I just feel like they haven't gone after a guy like that.
Well, you know, they tried. It's just they weren't able to land those guys either via trade or by signing. You know, and like, it's been kind of weird. I mean, Andrew Heaney could never stay healthy there for him, so they finally gave up on him, shipped him to the Yankees. Dylan Bundy was great for them last year, and now for whatever reason he can't get anybody out. You know, they brought Jose Quintana in, who was used to be a solid major league pitcher. Now he can't get anybody out. Obviously, the death of Tyler Skaggs didn't help the team at all, so...
Yeah,
I do like that they brought their young guys up. You know, they have Reed Detmers and Jose Suarez and Jaime Barrera, and they put them right in the rotation, you know, and they're going to basically let them finish out the rest of the year and kind of see what they got here with their younger pitchers. You know, and like they, you know, they signed Alex Cobb, and he couldn't stay healthy. So, you know, at least they're taking a look at these guys before they go into the off season. You know, they signed Pujols. He was okay until he got old. You know, they made the big trade for Justin Upton, but he never really produced like they thought. And now you got Mike Trout hurt. So for whatever reason, it just always seems to go south here. So, you know, they just, you know, maybe if they get some good luck, you know, like they signed Anthony Rendon, remember, was that 2 years ago or whatever it was? And that just hasn't worked out. And now it looks like he may be done for the season. You know, he had hip surgery, so my guess is he isn't coming back. You know, they bring in your guy Dexter Fowler, and he blows out a knee before the season even starts, so he's done.
Wow.
So, you know, it's kind of like, okay, what the heck is going on here?
Yeah, well, if Fowler didn't blow out his knee, he would have blew out someone else's knee, particularly the guy
probably.
Who was probably playing left field.
You know, but they went out and got a closer this year. They went out and got Raciel Iglesias, and he's had his ups and downs. So, you know, it just, for whatever reason, it just ends up being really weird when it comes to the Angels.
Yeah, maybe they should go back to being just the California Angels.
Maybe.
And
and I guess that, you know, they wanted Los Angeles because it's the big market city and all that fun stuff, but they're always going to be second fiddle to the Dodgers. There's nothing they can do there. So
no, and I mean, well, and let's be honest, the name changes. What did it really ever do?
Right.
You know, it didn't. It's not like it was going to. I don't know. I mean, I guess I could see them getting rid of California Angels, even though I don't know, growing up with it for me, and I'm sure for you, seeing the, you know, the team start. I'm waiting for you to get mad at me for calling you old. But, you know, just the whole kind of back and forth, the Los Angeles Angels, you know, after the California Angels, they were the Los Angeles Angels, and then they were the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, and now then they were the Anaheim Angels, weren't they, for a time? Or I don't know. Keep it as the LA Angels, but like you said, they're always going to be second fiddle, but for whatever reason, I feel like they have a better spot than, say, in Chicago, where the Sox are always kind of deemed as the secondary team, or, you know, not the great team, so to speak. Everyone wants to see the Cubs. So, I don't know. For whatever reason, it just, like you said, it doesn't work out there. I think they've got the talent, but I don't know. I just feel like the pitching, they haven't really gone after. I mean, didn't they, you know, back when they signed Pujols, didn't they grab someone from Texas after Texas kind of was in the middle of getting their run where they kept losing in the World Series?
Yeah.
Or was that their...
Oh, yeah, well, you know, they brought in pitchers. You know, they brought in C.J.
Wilson. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
You know, he was a hot commodity, you know. I mean, he was a big-time, you know, this is a great signing. And, again, it was just one of those ones that didn't work out.
Yeah, it's because he gave out Mike Napoli's cell phone number.
Yeah, you know, maybe that is why. Who knows what happened there? But yeah, it just, you know, and I mean, obviously they're, you know, I mean, we'll see what they do, you know, this year. I mean, they've never been afraid to spend money, so we'll see if maybe. They give it a shot this year. You know, Kevin Gausman is only on a 1-year deal there with the Giants. You know, he accepted the qualifying offer, so he'll hit the free agent market again. Obviously, he's got a really big opportunity to cash in. You know, Robbie Ray hits the free agent market. I know he's not a gigantic name, but you know, he's pitched pretty well for Toronto. Noah Syndergaard is just 29, and he's going to be a free agent. You know, he's had an injury issue, but he's going to come back and be a reliever, you know, for the rest of this year. Marcus Stroman goes out on the market. You know, Eduardo Rodriguez. Don't forget Carlos Rodon, who's a Cy Young contender. So, you know, we'll see if maybe they want to spend a little in this rotation and, you know, kind of add, because their everyday lineup isn't terrible now. So, you know, and especially once you get Mike Trout back, you know, it probably wouldn't be a bad idea if they could find or add a little a little more at catching, but you could say that about a lot of teams. So you never know what's going to go on there. But yeah, it's, you know, and I'm assuming, you know, with Ohtani and Trout next year, they'll be a trendy pick just like they were this year. You know, there were a lot of people who liked them as a playoff team, and you know, again, it just kind of blew up in their face. We'll see how it goes. You know, but, you know, and then what, you know, what's the possibility that maybe they throw a bunch of big money at, you know, a guy like Trevor Story? They could use shortstop. They've been playing Jose Iglesias, but if you could bring in Story long term, you know, he would definitely be an upgrade. So, you know, or even a Carlos Correa or a Corey Seager, even though I think, you know, the Dodgers probably want to make sure they bring Seager back. So, you know, if they are interested in spending the money, they, you know, maybe they could make a move and, you know, bring, you know, put themselves in that race. Or, hell, maybe go after Carlos Correa, because not only are you picking up a quality player, but you're hurting the assets.
Yeah, or you got to wonder if they'd be looking at any former Cub.
Oh, well, you know, I mean, I think the question comes, where would they play Chris Bryan if they signed him? You know, because they'll have Rendon at third and Holmes at fourth. But, and, you know, and they have some really, you know, Upton obviously plays left field, and they have a couple quality young players that could use the time in right, but I guess if you bring Bryan in, he plays every day in right field.
Yeah.
So...
Well, you know, and I was kind of leaning towards Javi. Would you go for Javi?
Well, he could be possible, you know, but I would think, you know, I know he's partial to staying with the Mets. And, you know, I mean, honestly, I would take Correa or Story over Javi at this point. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think personality-wise, Javi draws so much. Personality and, you know, lovable character, so to speak. But
yeah, but you do wonder how a guy like Javi personalities of like Mike Trout and Ohtani.
Yeah.
You know,
because well,
he's a personality where they're not.
Yeah. Well, not only that, the downside for me is the fact that, what do you call it? You know, the kind of the falter over the last couple of seasons, you know, especially since the can't watch your videos in between innings anymore, that's kind of knocked him down a peg. You know, he's kind of looking like the guy who was striking out a lot when he first started. So where does that all come into play again?
Yeah, well, you know, and that's one of those things you got to kind of ask yourself. You know, I mean, they've already got, you know, Ohtani strikes out a ton. Trout strikes out a ton. Everybody strikes out a ton. You really need another guy who's going to strike out that much.
Yeah.
So. You know, but, you know, and like, honestly, I think pitching is their biggest need. You know, they have to go out and find some pitch. You know, and if, you know, and then if that doesn't work out, then maybe you add the bat. But you need arms, you know, you need starters, you need relievers, you need, you know, anything you can get your hands on, be it, you know, via free agency or trade or, you know, whatever you can come up with at this point. So you definitely gotta start looking that way. And, you know, I don't think there's, you know, like the only big time closer I think that would come up on the market would be Kimbrel, and that's if the White Sox don't pick up the option. Well, Mark, you know, there is Mark Melanson, but, you know, he's 37. York Soy is 38. Yeah, I don't know if they're exactly, you know, the kind of guys you're looking to bring in to be your main closer, but I don't know. Your guy Brad Hand is out there, but boy, man, he's been bad since being traded to Toronto. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah. He's not used to Canada.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. He just really scuffled, so we'll see. But, you know, well, on the fun side, I saw that we're going to get another year of Yadi Molina. He doesn't have to go through free agency this time. He agreed to a one-year, $10 million extension with the Cardinals today. So they will be keeping him around. So that's a big plus.
He's going to play until he's like 50.
Yeah, it seems like it, you know. I mean, but, you know, he's having a really good season for them. So, you know, it makes sense for them to bring him back. You know, and I mean, $10 million isn't any kind of deal breaker in, you know, today's game. You know, that's actually a low salary number. So, I know they have a prospect. They're waiting for that Ivan Herrera to kind of develop, and you know, hopefully he'll be the heir apparent down the road. But I'm trying to remember how old he is. Let me see if I can grab it. Yeah, he's just 21, and he's catching at Double A. So yeah, maybe he's another year away before he gets the opportunity. So it makes sense to, you know, to bring Yadi back one more year, and, you know, smart to not let him go in free agency because he's proved he can still play. They may actually lose him if he was to go in free agency. So, we'll see how that goes for him next year, but yeah. You know, and then I don't know if you're carrying Francisco Lindor on any of your teams, but he's finally back from the IL. Of course, it may be a little too late for the Mets, right?
I was just going to say that.
So I don't know. I don't know how that will work out for them, but. You know, it was weird. You know, they were a really good story, and man, for whatever reason, everybody got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, unless you're a diehard Mets fan, you were, you know, all in. But you know, it's, I think for me, regardless of the injuries, it's just been hard to buy into that team despite what they have since the failure in 2015.
So yeah, and, you know, I mean, it's, you know, they're 6.5 out in their division. They're 7 out of a wild card. You know, it's not out of the realm of possibility for them to get back in the race, but, you know, I saw that apparently now since they've slipped out of first place, they're not in any rush to bring Jacob DeGrom back. And you need Jacob DeGrom if you're going to compete, you know, because there's not enough time to stretch Syndergaard out to get him back into the rotation this year. So you need DeGrom. And, you know, if they can't seem to win or they can't seem to compete, they don't want to bring him back, which makes sense because you don't want him getting hurt long term. And for whatever reason, he's had a ton of injuries this year. Granted, they've been short term until this last one, but yeah, it you know, they're not going to win without him. Sorry. I don't know. Which is sad because I think I hope to win the East this year. And for a while there, I looked like I was in a good place, but yeah, it just didn't work out that well.
which I thought the Nationals were going to do something more.
Yeah, well, you know, they hung around for a while, too, and then, you know, they just, you know, they started to scuffle and off, but, you know, they failed on, you know, this season and probably next season. We'll see how it goes. But, yeah, I don't know. Just, you know, you never know what these things are, how it's going to go. But, you know, Dan, you know, they, you know how it is. They like to give out all the awards before it's actually time to give out the awards. And it's clear that Ohtani is going to be AL MVP no matter what else happens the rest of this season. Do you have a favorite in the NL? Are you leaning towards a guy?
I haven't really looked at it so much. So I don't really have my guy, so to speak. Well, and, you know, maybe that's my problem is I wait till the season's closing to kind of start looking at that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, the one that really kind of, you know, started to interest me here a little bit was the American League Rookie of the Year, because I haven't really seen anybody come out with, like, a huge front runner. And, you know, and what I was kind of wondering in was, would Andrew Vaughn get some buzz with as well as the White Sox done? You know, and I know there are guys, you know, Garcia from the Rangers, Aldis Garcia from the Rangers, and, you know, Randy Arozarena have good years as well. So, yeah, I just kind of trying to find a guy.
Yeah, well, and, you know, and this is not because I'm a Cubs fan, but let's be honest. Doesn't matter what the White Sox do, they're still not going to get that recognition.
Obviously the voters see it differently because they're, you know, they're not all from Chicago like the media here sees it.
No, but, let's not forget they were – I forgot it was a national game and they're going over World Series winners and just kept, you know, kind of mentioned. No, they weren't even going over World Series winners. They were going over who has the longest streaks for not winning. And they included the White Sox amongst, you know, the Astros at that time and several other teams. And it was like, what do you guys do for a living? Because they won not even 10 years ago.
So now that your Cub flag is flown, have you, you know, did you have a rookie in mind that, you know, now that you crapped all over Andrew Vaughn?
I'm not crapping on Andrew Vaughn. I'm just telling you the truth.
Or the White Sox. You crapped all over the White Sox, you know. And I know you want Wisdom to win. The Cubs are trying to champion Pat Wisdom for Rookie of the Year, but everybody else has already given it to Jonathan India. So Cubs fans need to kind of let that go.
Hey, they're, you know, we're in that participation trophy era, so they just want a participation trophy somehow.
Well, and let's face it, it's the only thing the Cubs actually have to talk about with the status of the team right now.
Is
the fact that they're going to be a guy who's going to get some rookie of the year. So, you know, because, I mean, you know, like I was bringing up to Schomburg Stu the other day, he was emailing me upset because of the way they play. You know, there's legitimately only three major league players on this roster with the Cubs right now?
Yeah, one of them's Kyle.
Right, you figure you got Kyle, Wilson, Contreras, and Hayward.
Yeah, well, don't they have a backup catcher who's been in the league since, you know, for the last 20 years?
Well, Romine, but he's been a backup for all every year he's been in the league. So while he has had a long career, he's been
playing. I thought
playing.
He was playing second base.
No, that's his brother.
Oh.
They have two Romines on the Cubs. So.
See, I'm so confused. You know, it's like my dad said. I turn on the Cubs game. I don't even know who the hell's playing.
Right. So.
They might as well be like the Yankees and remove the names from the back of the shirts because it doesn't matter anymore.
But yeah. So it's just kind of, you know, and as they're announced, that's what they have to do. I mean, they can't tell you the truth. You know, so they've got to come up with something to talk about. And, you know, at least they're not talking about food at the concession stand. So.
Yeah, and, you know, and it's – so if you flip on over, you know, I know you prefer radio broadcasts. So do I. I prefer the radio broadcasts. Although I feel like Boog has brought out something in JD where it's a little bit more baseball-friendly. But the thing that kills me the most and which is complete turnoff when it comes to the Cubs and the Marquee Network and this whole Ricketts, Theo Jett era is you just keep bringing – the only person who has any connection with the Cubs right now is David Ross as a manager. And, you know, I wouldn't even really consider him a full-fledged Cub. He just happened to be here when they won. But, you know, Theo came in with this whole, we're going to do it the Cubs way, we're going to do it the Cubs way. And the first thing he does is hire a former Brewer, you know, manager who played with the Royals for, I think he played for the Royals, and doesn't really bring in Cub personalities. You know, even with the broadcasting, finally they bring in Rick Sutcliffe and Ryan Dempster to kind of here and there. But it's like, why don't you guys quit dipping your toes in the water? Even with the female broadcaster that they bring in. Okay, and here's my thing with that. I'm not against female broadcasters. What I am kind of not understanding is why you're bringing in a woman who, you know, she's not even a full-time employee. It's just like, oh, well, you know, this random day out of the month, we're going to put her in. Why not, you know, incorporate someone who's actually, like, involved with the team, not a person who goes from broadcast to broadcast to broadcast. You know, she does college softball or something, and then she does basketball. She does all this other stuff, and I get it. It's because Marquee is part of that other network, so they're only using people from that are contracted through them. But even with Boog, you know, he's not a Cubs guy. I like you brought in an analyst, but at the same point, when are we going to bring it back to the team? You know, what's going on? You're actually bringing in so many outsiders, I don't recognize anything, and I'm kind of not that excited to watch a TV broadcast, you know, unless Sutcliffe is on there, and sometimes Ryan Dempster, but sometimes Ryan Dempster, you're like, dude, just shut up. But, you know, I don't need a full inning of you pretending to be Harry Carey. It's fun for 5 minutes, you know. I don't know, Big Jack. It's like It's like the old indie wrestling thing. We're not being used correctly, so we're just going to move on, you know, as the fans.
Yeah, maybe you can explain this one to me. What is with the rotating announcers this year? And it's been, you know, since obviously we get the games, it's been both sides of town. You know, because I thought it was Jason Benetti and Steve Stone, but we've had different guys there. You know, and I know the Cubs had planned to allow Pat Hughes to do some TV games this year. I knew that was coming up, but, you know, like you mentioned, Sutcliffe, we've had Dempster, Sandberg has done games. I don't know what the deal is anymore.
No, and it's just like, I don't know what's going on. You know, who am I listening to? There's even been days on the radio broadcast where Pat and Ron aren't there, and you're like, what the hell's going on? And maybe I'm old and I like things the way they were, but it just, you know, you're giving guys days off, but the whole rotating thing kind of takes away from it. And then you end up with a lot more conversation, and that's kind of the downside when Rick Sutcliffe comes in, is because Boog just sits there and kind of, well, what was it like when you did that? and then he'll bring up a story.
Yeah.
And then JD's not even paying attention, and they're like, well, what would you do? I would throw the ball. You know, he comes up with something stupid.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, how are did you were pitched for almost 10 years with the Astros. Did you not pay attention to any of the rules? Do you know how the game is played? So I don't understand it. It's like there's no consistency. And I'll be honest with Jack. I don't even watch the White Sox because I don't get them anymore. Since I don't have.
Yeah, it's just one of the things I've noticed as I watch the games and, you know, catch the games here locally. It's just like, wait, who's, you know, and like a lot of times I don't recognize the guy talking. And it's like, who's announcing? You know, it's like, because like I'll miss the start of the game, so I won't see who's in the booth. And, you know, it takes me a little bit to kind of figure out who the heck, you know. And, so, you know, some guys you can tell, you know, just from hearing them over the years. But, you know, yeah, there's been guys that I don't know who they are. But, yeah, I didn't know if that was a plan or something somebody was doing or how it worked out. But I was just like, I don't like this.
Well, no, I mean, I think part of it is because of the COVID and the traveling, they're limiting it. And I don't really know if, they're traveling with the teams yet. I can't remember. I don't know if they're still doing, you know, broadcasts from home and whatnot, but it just, some of the times it's the lack of consistency. And, you know, the whole guest announcer, you know, if you're going to go that route, just bring someone in. Are you going to do a two-man team or a three-man or a three-person team? You know, what are we doing here?
Yeah, you know, and I know, like, Steve Stone has days off written into his contract due to, you know, some of his religious beliefs. So, you know, I expect him to be gone every now and then. I know that's how it works. But, yeah, you know, like Jason Benetti was gone for a few days and nobody said anything. Nobody explained where he was or I missed it, one of the two.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So,
I did at some point.
You know, yeah,
no
it's
offense,
just kind of like,
either.
Oh. And, you know, I don't know, you know, if all the teams are doing this now, obviously, because, you know, I get the national broadcasts or, you know, and as long as my guy Michael Kay is doing Yankee games, I don't care. That's all I want. So...
Yeah, well, and I don't know if I told you, but the NBC Sports Chicago app doesn't have White Sox games on there anymore.
Oh, well, that's nice.
So
are
I don't
they
even,
in their own network?
I don't know what's going on. So I don't even – not that I don't watch White Sox games. I can't watch White Sox games now.
Yeah, well, that's not a good thing. So,
yeah, well, I mean, I'll be watching this Friday when I'm sitting fifth row behind home plate, seeing them.
Oh, there you go.
Lose to the Cubs.
Yeah. Does anybody lose to the Cubs anymore?
I mean, the Cubs lose to them.
So, yeah, because it's, you know, the Cubs just, what, set their record for most consecutive home losses. Luckily, they broke that streak last night. But, yeah, it's not a good team.
No.
You know, and it'll be interesting to see if they can do anything to change that. You know, kind of like the Angels. Can they do anything in the off season to make a difference?
I think the Angels can. I don't see that in the Cubs' future, sadly.
Yeah, well, you know, what's his name? I can't remember which Ricketts it was. Probably there's only the one that addresses the media. What's that, Tom? You know,
yeah.
He did say he wanted this to quick rebuild, so we'll see if he was lying they go out and actually play, but I don't know if I buy that.
He could say that all he wants, but he obviously doesn't know, forgive my language, shit about rebuilds. But there's no such thing as a quick rebuild, especially with what Theo and Jed did to this team. So.
Yeah, well, you know, and of course, you know, with the position they're in, I don't think they could sign enough guys to make a difference. So,
no, they can't. And he could talk about a quick rebuild all he wants, but he's not forking up for him and, or his daddy's not forking up enough money.
Yeah, and that, you know, that becomes the big question is, will Papa allow them to even spend money? You know, because obviously he didn't this year. So. But, yeah, you know, it'll make the off season quite interesting. You know, that'll be fun. But, you know, Dan, we're not too far away from our fantasy football draft, so you got to make sure you go and cross the Travis Etienne, the Jaguars running back, off your list, because he was placed on season-ending IR today with a Lisfranc injury. So he's definitely gone. I did see that Andy Dalton isn't going to play this week because he's going to start for the Bears week one. I know you're excited about that. You know, have you started to prepare? I mean, we're only a couple weeks out from having to go, so I hope you're getting ready.
Oh yeah, just like always.
You know, you've been doing your mock drafts and checking out what you need, or.
I'm trying. It just, even when I do those, it doesn't really seem to pay dividends, so to speak. You know, I think the biggest challenge for me for football is the fact that I don't know the game as well as I do baseball. Well, that and the fact that there isn't a whole lot of opportunity to make up ground. You know, in the NFL, by Monday morning, depending on, you know, who you've got playing, you know if you're going to lose.
Yeah.
So it's I don't know, it's a little bit more difficult, but you know, with that being said, I did have tickets this past weekend to see the Bears play the Bills in preseason, but I had to give those up for my daughter's birthday party, which by the weather and what I seen, I didn't give up too much, right?
No, oh God, no, they played horribly, so.
Yeah, and, you know, with that being said, do you think good old Mitchell is going to be key or somewhat of playing for Buffalo?
Oh, no, no, he's the backup. Josh, unless Josh Allen gets hurt, he won't see the field. You know, unless they put him in a blowout or something like that, he's not gonna play at all.
That would be funny, though. But, I mean, I guess it is funny that he came in for a preseason game against the Bears and just dominated.
Yeah, how weird is that, that you get, you know, and, you know, to be fair, if he did have to play there, he's on a better team.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there would be, you know, the possibility that he could actually succeed if he were to, you know, given the chance, because, you know, he's not a terrible quarterback. I mean, he's not a superstar or anything like that, but he's not terrible.
Yeah. Well, and
but
with
yeah,
this game this past weekend, what are your thoughts on Andy Dalton? And will he go past, you know, four games?
Yeah, you know, he's a serviceable NFL quarterback. You know, I mean, he got the Bengals to the playoffs multiple times. You know, if he's given, you know, the proper tools around him to work with, you know, he could be a decent player for them. I mean, they're not winning anything. They're not going to the playoffs. You know, even if Justin Fields takes over after their bye week, he's not leading them to the playoffs. And again, what everybody forgets is there have been very few rookie quarterbacks that have gotten their teams into the playoffs. So, you know, and no rookie quarterback has ever been on a, you know, been the starter on a Super Bowl winner. So while it's fun to, you know, get excited and be like, oh yeah, well, you know, Justin Fields is going to do this and that, you know, this team is, you know, there's still a lot of questions. I mean, there's a lot of questions about the offensive line. You know, Allen Robinson is only signed to the franchise tag, so he's only here for this year unless they want to franchise him again. We still don't know if David Montgomery is a true number one running back. So, you know, I mean, who knows? You know, maybe they'll get lucky if the schedule works right and they'll steal a wild card spot. But, you know, they're not going to the Super Bowl. They're not winning the Super Bowl. You know, they're not there yet. So.
And do you think it's kind of humorous, so to speak, that Vegas reached out to the Bears to get Khalil Mack back?
That was kind of interesting that of all the pass rushers they decided to go after or look at going after, that they wanted to bring their guy back. So, yeah, I thought that was quite hilarious that they went that route. And, you know, I was just kind of like, oh, okay. So, yeah, I don't, you know. And I mean, obviously it makes sense. He's a top defensive player. I mean, if you're going to go after a guy to rush the passer, he's as good a choice as any. So, you know, I would have been interested what they would have been willing to give up.
Do they have anything to give up?
No, you know, they've traded some first round picks. So that's what I was kind of wondering was, what would be their, you know, the package that they offered. But, you know, it's going to happen. You know, the Bears probably wouldn't make that, you know, make that type of move. So, but yeah, just kind of fun that's how it, you know, how it happened. So, but yeah, you know, we'll see. I mean, it won't be too long before, you know, people forget that baseball's still going on and all we do is talk about the Bears, right?
Yeah, well, you know, we talked about that last week, you know, after one game for Justin, rookie kid. You know, everyone wanted the local radio station to stop. What do you call it? Stop talking baseball.
The link will take you over to the Facebook page. So get on over there and get that spot. Don't forget the Facebook though, which is at Fields Talk Radio. You can look at the internet on Twitter, Twitter, Facebook, and if you were able to stop this live, well, thank you very much for doing that. But if you missed out, tune in back on if you're interested. Head on over there and maybe you can listen to it anytime you want.
Radio.com.